Welcome to a Halloween special of Behind the Headlines. We'll be taking a look at some of the biggest stories we've been covering across the UK today. We've got updates from Westminster and from the US on reaction to the budget and 5 days out from the presidential election. The saga to find a replacement for Erik ten Hag continues at Manchester United, and we've got plenty of spooky stories from across the UK. I'm Matt Soanes. I'll be your host over the next 10 or so minutes on Halloween, Thursday the 31st of October 2024. First, the fallout's continuing from Labour's first budget in 14 years, which included big tax rises, but also big spending pledges. The Prime Minister's been meeting NHS workers today, with the organisation getting a £23 billion boost. But business leaders are worried as they'll have to pay extra towards employees' national insurance and fork out for the rise in the minimum wage. Our reporter Charlotte Lineker's been at Newark Market today.
Traders here say footfall is dwindling and that they're already counting the pennies. But now they face Labour's first budget, which they were hoping would include something to help them bring business back to life. Tony here says he's worried about the increase in employers' national insurance contributions.
That's a massive tax on business. That's a tax that business can ill afford to pay when they're on the breadline now.
Meanwhile, Nikki says it's the minimum wage increases that she's concerned about.
With us all being family, we are well looked after. But then we have to pass anything on to our customer base, which we don't really like to do either.
It seems only time will tell just how much value this budget holds when it comes to the community here.
Well, our political editor Georgie Prodromo joins me now. Georgie, you've been speaking to the Chancellor today. How's she been responding to criticism of yesterday's budget?
Well, unsurprisingly, she's been continuing to blame this Tory inheritance in the finances for having to raise taxes by a massive £40 billion, saying everything has to be paid for. I asked Rachel Reeves earlier whether they misled the public by not mentioning all of this in their manifesto.
I inherited a huge black hole in the public finances between what the previous government was spending but what they had actually budgeted for. And it was important yesterday to bring stability back to our economy, to fix that black hole, to make sure that the sums add up.
We know you've said this won't affect people's payslips, but can you accept this national insurance rise will impact them in the longer term? Businesses aren't going to be able to afford the pay rises they might have otherwise given. I mean, you yourself called this a jobs tax, did you not? And do you accept some people will be thinking, I didn't vote for this in July?
It was necessary to raise taxes yesterday. I had a choice about how to raise that additional revenue, and I didn't want to increase the key taxes that working people pay: income tax, employee national insurance, and VAT. It does mean that I've had to ask the wealthiest in the country and business to pay a bit more.
Both the Prime Minister and Chancellor have said to the critics, well, if you don't like our plan, what would you do instead? Important to note that despite any inheritance, the government have also spent a lot of money themselves since they came in on public sector pay rises and now on public services as well.
And Georgia, we know the Conservatives have accused Labour of breaking promises not to raise taxes, but what's the reaction been like from other political leaders?
Yes, the Tories didn't hold back yesterday and today. Rishi Sunak said it's the working people of this country that are going to pay the price for this, but he's on the way out. And on Saturday, either Kemi Badenoch or Cor Robert Jenrick will be taking over as Tory leader. I got some reaction from Robert Jenrick on what he thinks of this budget.
Just 3 months ago, Labour were elected on a manifesto that promised no tax rises for working people. They lied. And this is going to be immensely harmful to families, to households, to businesses, to the economy.
It's not only the Tories who've been reacting. Lib Dem leader Ed Davies told me the issues he has with this budget.
I think they've just gone for the wrong tax rises. There'll be low wages for a lot of people. Stuff on family farms is not good. So I think that some of the taxes are just wrong. For social care, there was very little. And that's a big mistake. It's important that people understand how social care works with the NHS. People get trapped in hospital if there's no care package, if there's no care place in the care home. There's a real double whammy here, because I think the rise in employer national insurance contribution is going to hit a lot of these small care providers. And nearly all the providers of care in communities up and down our country are from small businesses.
The government say they can't please everyone, but the independent IFS has accused them of playing silly games. The pound fell to its lowest rate in 18 months, and a think tank says wages will stagnate now. Labour are promising it will be tough, but the prize on offer after this is substantial.
Next, a man who attacked a woman he didn't know in her home in Pembrokeshire is starting a 20-year prison sentence. Benjamin Guyver viciously attacked his victim in Fishguard earlier this year. Our reporter Jess Payne has been following the case at Swansea Crown Court.
Swansea Crown Court heard the 34-year-old broke into his victim's home in the Goodwick area as she slept in front of her TV. He claimed he was there to save her, but then launched a violent attack and sexual assault, which was stopped by a family member who happened to arrive home minutes later. The victim, who can't be named for legal reasons, has given this statement, which has been voiced by an actor.
I've always been confident and independent. However, that's now been viciously ripped away from me. I want so desperately to go back to some kind of normality with my life.
It also emerged Guyver had tried to break into another property. He admitted to a number of charges.
Well, I promised a Halloween special, so here's a spooky story. The Hellfire Caves in Buckinghamshire are world-renowned for their debauched history and for the ghosts that allegedly live there. We sent our reporter Zoe Head Thomas, or is it Zoe Dreads Thomas, ghost hunting.
Okay, so I'm descending into the caves now. I can see tunnels, they've got pointed arches. It kind of makes me feel like I'm in a cathedral, or rather underneath one. And I'm here with Holly, she's a tour guide here.
You've seen some of them before, haven't you?
But the one that we hear the most is Suki, who is our white lady ghost.
I see, is she behind me right now? You're looking behind my over my shoulder.
Cannot confirm nor deny.
Are you not spooked out? Spooked out. I've got goosebumps all over my body. I feel like she's behind me.
Sometimes you sort of catch flashes of white going past. Most of the people hear her screaming.
She lives here, but you work here, so I guess you're kind of colleagues, aren't
you? Yeah, it's like sort of having neighbours that you don't see very often.
Hopefully we don't upset any spirits today. I don't know if any are around right now as we speak.
Hopefully if they are, they're friendly.
Oh, hopefully they don't follow me home. I'm off.
Now, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump have held competing rallies in the key swing state of Wisconsin, with 5 days to go until Americans head to the polls. Polling has the Democrat and Republican candidates neck and neck, and celebrity supporters and political stunts are dominating the final stages of the campaign. Our chief reporter James Gould is in the States and joins me now. James, quite a show last night.
Yes, big time. Imagine a packed stadium of around 13,000 people waving American flags, singing and dancing. It's actually important to remember that this was a political rally for Kamala Harris, but with guest appearances from music star Gracie Abrams and Mumford & Sons, at some stages of the night it was more of a concert. Kamala Harris used her speech to talk about women's rights, women being able to control their own bodies, better healthcare, and a small section on the Israel-Gaza war. At one stage, protesters were removed from the building, holding a sign demanding the end of American funding to wars across the world.
And Donald Trump made quite the entrance at his rally, didn't he?
Oh, he really did. He stepped off his plane in Wisconsin and got into a garbage truck dressed as a sanitation worker. The fanfare didn't stop there. He actually wore the worker vest throughout the whole rally in the Green Bay area. That was in response to President Biden calling Trump supporters across the nation garbage. Trump went on to emphasise himself as a unity candidate, uniting the people of every race, creed and economic status. He also thanked astronaut Buzz Aldrin for his endorsement. Aldrin was the second man to walk on the moon.
Is this what we can expect over the next few days now? More rallies from both parties?
This is the business end of the campaign now. Both presidential candidates have spent a lot of time here in Wisconsin. That's because this place is a swing state. Whatever way people vote here will most likely have a direct impact on who becomes the president of the United States. Trump and Harris are back in the state tomorrow in Milwaukee. Trump will speak at the Pfizer Center in the city, but we don't know exactly where Harris will be just yet.
Now, from the race to the White House to a haunted house, and the story of a Glasgow woman who's transformed her garden into a Halloween den to spook trick-or-treaters. Sandra Lee Miles is still putting out decorations before families from all over the city arrive tonight. But don't be scared off by our reporter, the terror Callum McQuaid.
Boo! And welcome to the haunted house of doom in Drumchapel. Sandra Lee Miles has been spending days getting ready to scare all you kiddies around here. Well, what are you waiting for? Let's get the tour.
So this is where we're kind of cemetery area. I've just got a wee welcome dog here. I've got my two wee dogs that'll be dressed up as pumpkins, so I thought it was quite fitting to have a wee dog. 12-foot, don't know, skeleton with a pumpkin head. I've kind of tried to keep the theme for each section, so the cemetery's got the ghosts and the ghouls, and happy skeletons that are obviously, it's a wee pub theme. We've got some banjo playing skeletons that actually sing and dance. So they'll be entertaining later on tonight.
Now, the saga to find a replacement for former Manchester United boss Erik ten Hag is continuing. They're expected to confirm Ruben Amorim as their new manager in a couple of days, but the process of getting him to Old Trafford could take weeks. Our reporter Olivia Davies has more on this.
His current side, Sporting Lisbon, want to keep him in Portugal until the international break next month. The club play Estrela in the Portuguese League tomorrow night, and at a press conference, Amorim says nothing will be confirmed until after that match. He says there's still an ongoing negotiation between the two clubs and understands that they have to talk. If everything works out, then Amorim will become the sixth manager to take over United since Sir Alex Ferguson retired. Nick McCabe is from the United podcast Real Reds Talk and says they're hard shoes to fill.
It's almost an impossible job. We've tried every coach at this point. I like what he's done in Portugal, the impact he's had at Sporting. You can see that by the reaction of the fans and the supporters reacting to the news that Amorim's leaving. Look, it's been nothing short of breathtaking what he's done there. He's kind of destroyed the mould of your Benficas and your Portos, and he's won multiple league titles there. He plays an attractive brand of football, and there's a lot of talk about the back five or the back three, the high press, the intensity, the build-up structure. There's a lot of plaudits. And this was a manager who was also linked with the Liverpool job. He was supposed to be Pep's successor, so he obviously has fantastic credentials.
Well, United officials have been in Lisbon to discuss compensation with Sporting. Let's see what the future holds.
Quick question, have you ever seen a ghost or a shadowy figure while you've been out and about on Teesside? Well, a group of spirit seekers say they have when they've gone to the most haunted places in the area. Our senior reporter Karen Liu, or is it Karen Boo, has been meeting some of them.
Whoever it is, run up and down the stairs and set that music box off. Thank you very much.
This is Tony Stevenson, a paranormal investigator from Hartlepool, who's been communicating with a child spirit. He's been telling me about the spookiest moment he's had when he was a maintenance man at the Grand Hotel in the town.
I was working one afternoon, looked across the courtyard window, and I seen a face, smiled, and I waved over. And then I realised there was nobody in that room. It's an empty room, so I rushed all the way around the side of the hotel. I opened the door, and I just got this weird cold sensation just sort of going through my body. And then it was not long after that, I was walking down the corridor and I just hear a woman's voice saying, "Tony." Obviously there's nobody there.
Now it's my turn to give it a go. Hello? Is anybody there? What was that?
Karen Liu being spooked there. Well, an MP from Swindon is now just hours away from stepping into the ring with a professional mixed martial arts fighter. It's also raised money for a local mental health charity. Our reporter Aaron Harper's been catching up with him. Seconds out, round one.
In the blue corner is Matt Inman, professional MMA fighter. And in the red corner, Labour MP for Swindon North, Will Stone, who tells me he's been inspired by the work of the Kelly Foundation.
There is a mental health crisis across the UK. It needs so much support. A lot of that is going to come through the charitable sector. It's something that if we don't get right, future generations are going to continue to suffer.
Will's got some strong credentials, having a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and is a former soldier. But he says he's under no illusions about the task ahead of him tomorrow night.
I'm really excited for the match, and I think there are certain areas that if I can get into, I can win. But I'm not being complacent. I think Matt is a very challenging opponent.
Let's get ready to rumble.
And finally, big crowds have already started to arrive in Londonderry for Europe's biggest Halloween festival. Our reporter Chelsea Keeley is in Derry, where thousands of visitors are expected throughout the night.
It's the last day of what's been a Halloween-packed week. Adults, teenagers and kids are already out in their costumes, enjoying the live music, food and fun-filled atmosphere. I've been hearing from those who've travelled from far and near to take part in the celebrations.
Dressing up tonight, like, I was probably Man in Black, but like the festival here and all is crazy at nighttime, so I'm looking forward to the festival.
We'll be back tonight for the parade and the fireworks, and we dressed the part.
The grand finale is happening later, including the carnival parade and fireworks display over the River Foyle.
Now, for more on any of these stories, check out our social media or our website. Just search Rayo. We'll see you tomorrow for the next instalment of Behind the Headlines.